In the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus is speaking and he gives us some very wise words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put it into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. Have you ever felt like everything just came crashing down around you? Come, be honest. Well, there's one of the reasons why sometimes we feel that way. Because we have, without maybe realizing it at the time, we haven't been wise. The Word of God is very, very clear. When you begin to do foolish things, there's always going to be consequences. And the greatest consequence can be when your whole house begins to fall all around you. A lot of Christians today all over the world, and that's just a fact, are going to be asking some pastor to pray for them because their life is a mess. Now, there's a lot of people that go to church because they have figured out that their life is a mess. They've come to a place where they understand that they are going nowhere and they have problems upon problems upon problems and they never seem to get victory in every area. And so they go to church and they say, please pray for me because something is wrong. They're going to be saying things like, I don't understand. Nothing ever works for me. Everything I do seems to fail. I just can't seem to go forward in life. Now, unfortunately, many of those people are simply experiencing what Jesus was teaching us in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Listen carefully. Jesus said, a wise man who builds his house upon the rock is the man who hears the word and does the word. And when the storms come, the house will remain strong. The house can refer to your marriage. It can refer to your family. It can refer to your personal life. It can refer to your job. When the storms come, some people's house is going to remain standing. But there's going to be other people that will realize to their own shock and horror that everything is crumbling around them. Now, everybody goes through storms in life. But not everybody weathers the storms in the same way. There are some who find that their house keeps falling down with a great crash. So, let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to come to a place in your own life that when God looks at you, he says, ah, there is my wise son, Eddie. Anybody? In other words, when God looks at your life, he's going to say, hey, I'm so proud of that one. Look at the wise decisions that they are making. I take it, if we all want God to look at us as being wise, none of us would like God to look at us as foolish, am I right? Amen. You see, this has everything to do with how you are going to respond to the Word of God and the teachings that come from the Word of God. Wise and foolish in God's eyes has to do with what you do with what he says. Amen? How do you respond to the teaching of the Word of God? You see, it is possible to live a stable and a blessed life, but it requires obedience to God to get you there. For some of you, this is going to be a real big stretch. But can you remember when you were younger? I'm talking about when you were like in your teenage years. You can still remember. Man, that memory of yours is razor sharp. Eh? Hey, I'm telling you. Wasn't it you that told me she remembers everything you did wrong from knee high to a grasshopper? That makes a lot of sense. Fact is, when you were still in your mom and dad's house, listening to mommy and daddy seemed to be much more prosperous than not listening to them. Am I right? I mean, when you disobeyed your mom and your dad, you were constantly in trouble. Now, I don't know what kind of punishments your mom and dad brought out, but, you know, some of us, we got the good old fivefold ministry to the seat of understanding, which seemed to work very well. You know what? I got many hidings, and me today, I'm actually quite fine. Some people didn't do it that way. They used to ground their children. You're not going to Sally's party because you were full of nonsense and you didn't listen to mommy and daddy. Some people took away the pocket money. It doesn't matter what your parents did. There was some punishment. If you wanted peace when you were with your parents, you had to do what was right. Do you agree with me? Well, that was training for what was going to happen to you later when you become a child of God. We still have to do what is right. And there's still going to be consequences if we disregard what God says we're going to suffer. Today I want to show you one area where many, many people are falling short. And that is causing a lot of suffering worldwide. Especially in the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. To mind your own business. And to work with your hands. Look at your neighbor and say, mind your own business. There's a couple of men here, you've been wanting to say that to your wife forever. Now the pastor has given you the opportunity to say that. Amen? I'm going to repeat this because probably some of you didn't even know that this was in the Bible. But I want you to listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11. This is not Rion speaking. This is God speaking to us. And he says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. Ah. Here we have something that many people find virtually impossible to do. What is that? Mind your own business. Yes, that's right. In case you didn't know it, the Bible, the Word of God, actually warns us that you better mind your own business. And I want to tell you something. There's a couple of people sitting here today. God's talking to you and you better listen. Because it is a recipe for disaster when you constantly interfere in other people's lives. The Apostle Paul writes again to the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 11 and he says the following. He says, we hear that some amongst you are idle. Idle means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're messing around. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Oh. I bet you most of you did not even know that that was in the Bible. Listen to what he says. We hear that some amongst you are idle. You are not busy, you are busybodies. Now, in case you were wondering, a busybody is defined as a person who is not busied with his or her own business, but they are constantly busying themselves in another person's business. There's a lot of you that know people like that. Don't look at your wife now. You're going to make problems. A busybody is somebody who instead of focusing on his own life, instead of dealing with his own problems, is constantly worried about what's going on in everybody around them's life and interfering. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but the Apostle Paul then goes on to command that such people, meaning busybodies, should be shunned by the church for them to be taught a lesson. Listen to this. Serious stuff. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 14. If anyone doesn't obey our instructions in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. In other words, the Word of God says when it comes to busybodies, you need to turn your back on them and move on. Why would God say something like this? Because I want to tell you something. Busybodies destroy people's lives. Listen to me carefully. Busybodies are always causing problems. You think God wants problems in the church? Do you think God wants division, dissension, backstabbing? No, God hates all of that stuff. And busybodies like to go and chiri-chiri with these things. The Apostle Peter also warns about exactly the same matter. Listen to this. 1 Peter 4 verse 15. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody in other people's matters. Do you hear that? You know what I find kind of like shocking, yeah, and very interesting is that the busybody, according to the Apostle Peter, falls in the same category as a murderer. Did you hear that? I mean, this really gives you a whole new understanding of how God sees things. You see, down here in the world, we see like, it's not a big deal. It's not a problem. You need to see it from God's perspective. God sees murder and being a busybody and messing in other people's life as the same thing. Now, we can all say that, murder, you shouldn't do that. But it's okay to mess with other people's lives. No, it's not. It's wrong. The Apostle Paul again addresses this issue now in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. And he is now speaking about widows. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, he says, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they should not. Do you hear that? Again, there is a warning. If we look at all of this, now I've given you, I think, 4 or 5 different scriptures, where different apostles all complain about exactly the same thing. How many of you know that this was a problem back then? If they had to write to the churches to specifically address the whole idea of people meddling in other people's affairs, of busybodies being busy with and saying things that they should not say, then it is a problem. Now, I'm sad to tell you that that problem has not disappeared. It's still with us. In fact, it's made little baby problems. There's now whole families of busybodies messing with people's lives. 1 Timothy 5 verse 13, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they should not. So if we look at it from this point of view, it is clear that the church has a big problem with people who like to mess with and interfere in other people's lives. Isn't it amazing how much wisdom one person can have when discussing somebody else's life, but they seem to have zero wisdom in sorting out their own life? Now you see, that's where the problem is. The Word of God is trying to help us to do things right. If instead of messing in somebody else's life, you actually mind your own business and you begin to look at why your life is not where it's supposed to be, you have the opportunity to fix the problems in your own life. But unfortunately, the devil likes to sidetrack us. Instead of you focusing on your own life, instead of you asking the questions, but why am I in a place where nothing happens for me? You are busy looking at why is this one battling and why is that one battling and why is this one doing this and that and what. And so the enemy is the only one that wins. And your life will continue to battle. So, it is actually God that is commanding you and me to mind our own business. You so God, see, God knows very well that there are too many busybodies interfering in other people's lives. And God also knows just how much damage and destruction is caused by people that can be termed busybodies. You know, I'm not going to give you the microphone because it'll create a riot and a disaster. But I'm sure there's quite a few people here that can raise their hands and say, wow, you know what, this and this and this busybody destroyed my life. That and that and that busybody cost me my job. That and that and that busybody made that my children don't speak to me today. You see, what I want you to understand is busybodies destroy lives. Maybe they don't look at it from that point of view, but you must see it from God's point of view. When you put your nose where it shouldn't be, where it doesn't belong, you are interfering. And you have no right to interfere in another person's life. You have no right to interfere in their finances. You have no right to interfere in their job. You should be looking at yours. Why did God give you a short little nose? Okay, I know some of you have a bit bigger one than that, but It's attached to your face because that's where it should be. Keep your nose in your own business. Do not let it wander into somebody else's life. That's not the place for it. God, sorry. Busybodies are the type of person that will spot the splinter in your eye from 10 kilometers away. But the beam in their own eyes, like, what are you talking about? I got no problems. And you see, my friend, I don't care what you say. It's wrong. They like to break others down. They like to point out flaws. They like to judge. They like to criticize. And you know, here's the scary thing. Do you know where you find the most of them? They're all sitting in church today. Because you see, the devil likes busybodies to go to church. It's the reason why a lot of churches go nowhere. It's the reason why the anointing is not present in many churches. Because you see, busybodies divide people. Busybodies create dissension. I want to remind you of a very important scripture. You all know of the day of Pentecost, right? Who knows what that means? The day of Pentecost. Okay, for those of you that don't know what it means, the day of Pentecost was the day when God poured out the Holy Spirit upon people for the first time. You see, in the days where Jesus walked the earth, the Spirit of God was upon him, but the Spirit of God was not upon anybody else. And through Jesus, God gave a promise that one day man will receive the Spirit of God. In fact, Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he spoke to the disciples and he said to them, stay in the city of Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Wait for the power of God because it will come upon you. And it did. Now, if you go and read the scriptures in the book of Acts chapter 2, it says, and when the disciples were all together in one accord, the fire of God came down. What does one accord mean? It means unity. Listen to me carefully, and if you forget everything else that I teach you today, please remember this. You cannot have the power of God in your life if there is not unity. The church cannot have the power of God if there is not unity. Busybodies destroy unity. Busybodies create division. Busybodies cause people to look at each other with suspicion. It's like, oh, I heard this and that about that one, so I don't want to be close to them today. Who wins? You better not be helping the devil to win the fight, because one day you will answer to God. It's time for the church to cleanse itself, to purge itself of rubbish. The spirit of the busybody needs to leave. The spirit of that thing that likes to interfere in other people's lives needs to leave. You know what? My life is difficult enough. I don't need you to come and interfere there. And your life is difficult enough. You don't need somebody else to go and interfere there. God will give us the wisdom that we need. God will take us forward. We must stop giving place to the devil. Here's a couple of interesting things about Jesus. Number one, Jesus never meddled in other people's business. Show me one place where he did. You can't. Go read your Bible. Jesus did not interfere in other people's lives. He minded his own business. In fact, if you go and read the Bible, many times he used to retire to a quiet place. In other words, he just wanted to get away. Do you know why? Because everybody around him wanted to interfere in his life. Sometimes he just had enough and he needed to retire and go to a quiet place. Jesus never judged people, but rather he saved them. He set them free, as with the woman that was caught in adultery. You know, when the people brought the woman that was caught in adultery, the judgment, the sentence for that was death. So they brought her to Jesus and they were expecting him to say, okay, fine, kill her. Did he do that? He wrote something on the ground, and I would love to have known what he written, but it doesn't say. He wrote something on the ground, he took a step back and he said, okay, fine. You are all willing to judge this woman. The one who has no sin in his own life, you are welcome to throw the first stone. And as every one of them stood there and they searched their own hearts, they realized, you know what, I'm no better than this woman. Tell me something, is one sin better than another, or is one sin worse than another, or is sin sin? My friend, I want you to understand something. Down here, we think one thing is big and one thing is small. God says they're all the same. You got sin, finished law. And so we need to stop judging one another, because you know, the stuff that you're judging that person for, God will judge you for one day when you stand before God. This is what we don't realize. You don't do yourself no favors. In fact, you are just complicating your own life. Have you heard? It's not a proverb. It's a biblical quotation. What you sow, you will reap. If you walk around judging people from morning to night, then that's exactly what you are going to reap. People are going to judge you from morning to night. And when people judge you, they speak bad about you. They gossip behind your back. They stab you in the back. It creates all sorts of problems in your life. But you can't get upset about it if it's exactly what you do yourself, because you're simply reaping what you like to sow in the lives of others. Although Jesus could see the sin and the wickedness all over the world, He never went to confront those in sin and wickedness. He never went to fight with those who preached contrary to Him. Do you read anywhere that Jesus went into a synagogue, stood in front of a Pharisee and slapped him one because you must come right? No. He didn't deal with things in that way. Instead, they were the ones that always came after Him. Jesus didn't like to go and stir up a fight. Jesus stayed away from that stuff. Others like to do it. Jesus did not go around pointing fingers. You know, we know that Jesus, when He stood with somebody, He tended to know pretty much exactly what was going on in their lives. And if He wanted to, I suppose He could have exposed them in front of everybody. Do you remember the woman at the well? She comes to Jesus, and Jesus goes to the well. There's a Samaritan woman there, and Jesus doesn't have nothing to get water from the well with. So Jesus says to the woman, "Ach, woman, while you're busy, please get me some water." And she's like a little bit offended because he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan, and it's not right for him to ask her that question. And Jesus says to her, "You know what? If you knew who I was, the man standing here speaking to you, you would actually ask me for the living water. And if I give you the living water, you will never thirst again." Now, Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit. The woman didn't understand that, so she took it literally and she said, "Oh, if there is water like that, I want some of that. Please give me that water. I don't want to keep coming to this well. It's a far trek." Okay? Then Jesus says to her, "Where's your husband?" She says, "I'm not married." He says, "Yes, you're right. You're not married. You're living with like the fourth man. Your other husbands are dead," blah, blah, something like that. The woman looks at Jesus. Her eyes pop out of her head. She's like, "What? You must be a prophet." She runs to her house, and she goes and gets the whole village to come and listen to the man that, according to her, spoke to her about her entire life. Point I'm trying to make is Jesus knew things about people. Jesus didn't expose them in front of everybody. He didn't get some wicked satisfaction from putting people in the spotlight. That's not how He dealt with people. Jesus dealt with people in love. He never gossiped about those in need. He never gossiped about those who were tormented or afflicted. Instead, He came to set them free. He delivered them. He healed them. Jesus never meddled in another person's affairs, but He had many people who liked to meddle in His own affairs. Today, unfortunately, too many so-called Christians see themselves as the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Well, hello. They abuse, they persecute, they rebuke, they point fingers, they blame, they accuse. My friends, do you wonder why sometimes we battle to get the church to go forward? It's because of this. You know, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to speak about it later, and I'll give you scriptures for this, but one thing that we must never lose focus of: we are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to be the light. Do you know light expels darkness? If somebody has a problem, okay, let me show you this in a practical way. What can I use? I've got a 5-rand coin on me. Can you all see the 5-rand coin? All right, who can I use as a victim? Biddy, 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 biddy. Ding, ding, ding. Come here for me, please. Quickly, yeah. Again. You see, Tommy, I told you, I know your name. You see, I had to marry him a couple of weeks ago. Now I know his whole pedigree. Now he's in trouble. Okay, Tommy. Imagine Tommy's got some problem in his life. How many of you can solve a puzzle in the dark? Tommy, if I was to give you even, you know, these children puzzles. I'm talking about, it's got like, let's say, 10 different puzzle pieces. If I give you one of those, do you think you could build it in a pitch dark room? Probably not. Okay, I almost thought he was going to be clever and tell me, oh, yeah, you know what, I'll be able to do it. No, he's honest. He probably won't be able to. Now, let's say, just for argument's sake, in the natural, he's looking for a 5 rand coin somewhere in this room. Let's say this 5 rand coin is like somewhere over there. And the room is dark. And he's got a certain amount of time. You got to find this 5 rand coin. So, wait. We got to do this in a different way. Can I borrow your scarf? I hope it's not like a Versace or something like that. It's from Chinatown, right? Okay, cool. I'm joking. Auntie, please do me a favor. Come and tie his eyes closed. I just want to show you something. Okay. Yeah, you're not allowed to cheat. Actually, he looks quite sexy that way. You should try this when you're alone at home. It might work. You never know. Okay, wait. Yeah. Okay. You need to find the coin. The coin has been moved. It's no longer in the same place. Show them how you find the coin. Do you have medical aid? Looking for the coin. Where is the coin? Yeah, you called. Yeah, you remember that game we used to play? Hot, cold. You called again. Well, you did find my sign, but that's not what you were looking for, right? Okay. Oh, he's given up. Now, let's quickly make it easy. As long as the light comes, you can solve problems. Amen? It's over there. It's not that difficult. You see, when the light comes, what you think is difficult is actually easy. Okay, now Tommy, imagine God says you are the light to the darkness of this world. You are the salt of the earth. If you come into a room, imagine this room is all dark, but in his heart burns the fire of God. He brings an air into the place. Something is different. Now, when I'm close to him, because the light in him also touches me, a lot of things that used to bug me, suddenly just like, I feel better about them. I find solutions. I actually like to be around him because for some reason, there's something in him that draws me to him. You know, on a very cold night, where do you want to sit? In front of the fire. There's the fire. I'm cold. I like to be here. I'm not funny that way, okay? I'm explaining things. And if you thought that way, I want to see you for prayer later. What's wrong with you? There's a fire in him. I want to be close to him. It's called light. Amen. He should have that light. Now, wait. Okay. Thank you so much. You can go and sit down. I was talking to you about people in the world. Tommy works with worldly people. How many of you know they all need salvation? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Yes, even your mother-in-law can be saved. Even your evil stepsister can be saved. Even the little brat on the corner house that's always throwing rocks through your window can be saved. Because God is not a respecter of man. But the thing is, how are people going to get saved? Through other people. Through the influence of other people. When he has a light shining in him, he affects the people around him. How are they going to know that they are lost? They're going to begin to notice the difference between their life and his life. They're going to see that when the storms come, he doesn't fall apart, but they do. Eventually, they're going to talk to him and say, what makes you so different? Thank you so much. Now, I said to you today, too many so-called Christians see themselves as the judge, the jury, the executioner. They look for people to argue with. They abuse, they persecute, they rebuke, they point fingers, they blame, they accuse. And you know what? The worldly people around them look at that attitude and they say, man, I don't want to catch what you got. And I hope it's not contagious. Now, you want to talk to them about Jesus? They're not interested. They don't want to serve the same God as you because they're scared they might become like you. Let's talk a bit about Facebook. There's a lot of nice things on Facebook, but I've seen so many times people use Facebook as a medium to attack other people. My friend. And then they call themselves Christians. You know, that's why a lot of people will not have anything to do with the church. And I want to say something to you. You don't have to share my opinion, and this is actually just my opinion. But you should not be having any arguments on Facebook. It's something for private. Why you want to go and tag the whole world and make sure everybody knows that you're fighting with this one and that one, but Sunday you're sitting in church? Please, please get a life. Stop that nonsense. Because you're giving a bad name to the kingdom of God. And then people attack ministries. It's like, this ministry is false. That ministry is of the devil. Who called you to be the judge? It's nonsense. And it shouldn't be, because can I tell you who's behind it? The devil's behind it. The devil likes to bring dissension. The devil likes to bring division. The devil likes to cause a dark cloud over people's lives. If you put anyone's life under a spotlight, you are bound to find a lot of things that are not perfect. Do you agree? If you put a spotlight on my life, you're probably going to see a couple of things that's not perfect. Guess what? I'm dealing with it. Salvation is a race, not a destination. I have to get to the end, and as I walk to the end, I have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And as I go, I grow. Give me the chance to grow. Amen? And I have to give you the chance to grow. You must remember, the same thing holds true for yourself. If I put a spotlight on his life, I'm going to see a lot of things I don't like. But if he puts a spotlight on mine, the same thing is going to happen. Take your spotlight off others and put it on your own life. You might be shocked to see what others see when they look at you. The so-called advice that we are so quick to give others about their life, we should probably be giving to ourselves. The thing is, when you're always looking at somebody else's life, you don't notice your own flaws. And you probably should. Okay, so somebody bought a new car. Is it any of your business? Then why does everybody make it their business? Oh, did you hear? Oh, Eddie's got a new car. And it's not just any car. It's got satellite tracking. It's got USB ports. It's got a double overhead dipstick. Shock and horror. So what? It's Eddie's car. Do you know his finances? Do you know how much money he's got in the bank? No. Is it you that's going to battle whether he can or cannot buy it? No, it's him. So guess what? Bless him and move on. I bless you, I move on. But you see, it becomes something that people go, this one is in that corner with those oaks, and that one's in that corner. Oh, did you see that Eddie's got a new car? How does he do it? You know, he's always got all the... It's got nothing to do with you. Mind your own business. Okay, I'm gonna ask them if they can put that. Mind your own business. When I stop here with my Golf R. Full Utinga kit. Stage 3. I don't want to hear nothing. Mind your own business. What somebody else does with their money, the things they buy, how they live, is their business. It's not yours. Can I tell you what happens? Somebody buys a new house. I want to teach you how these things work and why a lot of people battle to go forward. Somebody buys a new house. Listen, yeah, hopefully they did plan properly. Hopefully they are working according to a budget, and we trust that they can afford it and they've made their sums, and, you know, they can do it. It's their decision where they want to live. It might not be your decision, but it's their decision. Now, a whole bunch of people get together. Oh, you know what? Oh, they bought a new house. You know, how do they get the money for all of that? You know, this is ridiculous. But, and people begin to spread stories. Now, the devil hears these things and he uses that to begin to attack this family in their new house. So in the first week, the geezer bombs. It wasn't going to bomb if people didn't talk rubbish about the house in the first place. Then the pipes burst. It would never have burst if the devil didn't have something to go against them with. Then they go and they want to pay the water and lights account, and suddenly it's like 20,000 rand when it's supposed to be 3. Because the devil went and messed with the the meter. You know all about that, don't you? So, here's my question. Who's going to pay for what happened? The mouths that have been talking. Not today, not tomorrow, but guess what? What you sowed into that family's life is going to come back for you tomorrow. You should have been quiet. You should have said, I bless you, I'm happy for you, and left it there. But no, you have a lot to say. So at some point in time, it's going to come back to you. And you're the one that's going to suffer. You see, so often this is exactly what we focus on. And it's the topic of discussions amongst one another. What this one wears, where that one shops, what this one drives, where they stay. It's not your business how much somebody else earns. It's amazing when somebody has a new job. Oh, how much they pay you? It's got nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with you. It's not the question you should be asking. And if nobody taught you, then pastor is going to teach you today. Don't ask that question. Why you want to know? You shouldn't ask that question. Got nothing to do with you. You're a busybody. Yeah. It's none of your business how much somebody earns. It's got nothing to do with you how much their car costs. Now I can check. You're not going to ask. You're going to Google it. Same problem. Don't worry. Whether it's 20,000 rand or 2 million, don't worry. It's their money, not yours. I agree. It's their problem if they can't pay. So, don't be a busybody, because God has no time for that. Philippians 2 verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, now work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. This is very important. We must all be busy working out our own salvation. His salvation is his problem. Okay, if he's not saved, it is my problem. I need to get him saved. But once he's saved, he must walk a road with God. I must walk my road with God. God wants me to focus on my flaws. He must focus on his flaws. Do you know why so many people in the church never change? Because you're always picking on somebody else's flaws instead of noticing your own. The scripture shows us clearly that God expects us to be busy with our own lives and our own salvation. Let's talk about gossip. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Busybodies who like to interfere in the lives of others also, unfortunately, like to speak behind other people's backs. Psalm 15, verse 1 to 3. Listen, this is very important. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? What is the sanctuary of God? Okay, it could be the church, but the way that you should look at it from this point of view is the sanctuary of God is the place where you're living in the peace of God, where you are under God's wing. It means that you are protected. It means that you are with your provider and you never lack any good thing. So from that point of view, how many of you would like to be in the sanctuary of God? All of us. Now, he asks the question. He says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Would you like to know the answer? You asked for it. He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous and speaks the truth from his heart. He who has no slander on his tongue and does his neighbor no wrong. He who casts no slur on his fellow man. There are two things there that speak about the tongue towards others. He who has no slander, in other words, he who doesn't speak badly of his neighbor. Can I tell you, most Christians have just lost the plot there completely because they like this, to spread rumors, to talk, to backstab. When it says here, who casts no slur on his fellow man, to cast a slur is to share things that make people look at somebody in a bad way. I want to ask you a question. If somebody comes to you tomorrow and they say, oh, did you hear the latest? Oh, we saw the pastor at teasers. You've just fallen into the trap. Because listen to me. How do you know whether it was actually me? No, come on, let's follow my reasoning. Now, you saw somebody that maybe resembled me. Okay, first and foremost, I don't go there. Because I can already see somebody's going to phone their family when they get home. It's like, the pastor confessed. No, I didn't confess nothing. I'm giving an illustration. But imagine, somebody goes to you and they say to you, we saw the pastor going to teasers, or we saw him doing this or that, or wada. Okay. I'm getting there. Now you're sitting there and you're listening to all of this. Oh, and by the way, it's not just that. He did this and this and this and this. Now, next time you see me, are you still going to feel the same about me? Be honest. Are you still going to feel the same about me? No, you're going to be cold. You're going to be distant. Why? Because there is something corrupt in your heart towards me. What if I tell you I was never in teasers? What if I tell you I never did any of those things? What if I told you you just listened to either a lie or a total fabrication, or there was some misunderstanding somewhere, but now you are using that to crucify me? Who's wrong here? Yes? Well, there's Fatima. Today she's a divorced woman. She's divorced because of rumors that people started. And unfortunately, I want to make it very clear, there are two wrong people when it comes to this. The one spreading the rumors and the one entertaining the rumors. If you do not entertain the rumors have no place. But can I tell you what? It's too nice to sit and listen to all the rubbish because we want to hear the latest dirt. It's amazing that we have this character. We should have the character of Christ. When they brought that woman to Jesus, did he say, ooh, give me the juicy details. I want to hear everything. No, he didn't even ask one question. He just said, if you got sin, yes, stone her. If you don't, be quiet and leave. The problem today is we like to entertain people that talk rubbish. We don't bother to check whether there is any validity or any truth. And I want to tell you, even if there is validity or truth, you shouldn't be entertaining gossip in the first place. Because you're putting yourself in a very, very awkward spot. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? People that don't entertain gossip. People that don't spread stories and rumors about other people. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people that are right now not in the sanctuary of God because of what you like to entertain. If you are not in the sanctuary of God, the sanctuary is a place where you are safe. I want to tell you something. Don't think your life is safe because it's not. The devil's going to mess with you. Because if you're not in the sanctuary, you're outside the sanctuary. Here's how I want you to see the sanctuary. Four walls put there to protect you inside. Because outside is the serpent and the scorpion. Outside is the devil himself. And if you're not inside, you're outside. Now, what you're going to do when all these things come for you? You're going to battle. There's a lot of people that can't understand why my life goes nowhere. Why do I just have problems, problems, problems? This is why. Because we entertain rubbish. Because we can't wait to hear the next juicy bit about this one and that one and that one. The next time somebody comes to you talking about me, or anybody else, you say, hey, wait, I'm phoning them now I want them here to hear what you have to say. I promise you they're going to be very quiet because they're going to have nothing to say. She said something very important. If you know their character, I applaud you, but most people don't think like you. I'm sorry, but they don't. Because you know what? I had people in my own life that I walked the road with for 20 years. They knew everything about me. And when rumors and slander came, they all dropped me and ran like I don't even know what. So, you know, I've been on the receiving end of this stuff myself many times. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people sitting here today that have a lot of hurt and a lot of pain because of what happened. And they never even did nothing. It's because other people went to ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. It destroys the church. It grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible warns us, grieve not the Spirit of God. Can you live without the Spirit of God? Then don't grieve Him by doing things that will push Him away. He's called the Spirit of Truth. When you speak lies, He's gone. When you entertain lies, He's gone. When you listen to lies, He's gone. He already told you, I'm the Spirit of Truth. How many people in this world today are suffering, and how many relationships today are destroyed because of what someone said? She told you. Today she's divorced because of what people said. She's not the only one. How many people lost their jobs because somebody went and chi-chi-chi-chi-chi, but they didn't tell the whole story? Answer me. Plenty. And I'm sure there's some of you that can raise your hands here. I want to tell you something. You better not be part of the problem because you're going to be part of the punishment later when it comes. Proverbs 16 verse 28 says, a gossip separates close friends. Did you hear that? What do gossips do? They destroy friendships. You know, a friendship is a beautiful thing. You know, think of David and Jonathan. They would do anything for one another. They were like brothers. That's what God wants for us when we have friendships. But then you get some oak that has loose lips. And the next thing you know, that friendship is gone. And sometimes they can never be restored. Be careful what you say. And also be careful what you entertain. Before you know it, you will be outside the sanctuary of God. Do you want your life to go well? Do you want to be blessed? Then it's time for us to be wise. And it's time for us to do what God is saying. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11, make it your ambition to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life will win the respect of outsiders. How do you get people to come to church? When people see your life and respect you for who you are, then they will follow you anywhere. But do not be a hypocrite to people and then expect them to come to church because you say, ah, we got such a nice church. They won't follow you nowhere. A lot of Christians need to hear this. God wants you to have the respect of outsiders. God wants you to have the respect of unbelievers. Because I can tell you what's going to happen. The pauper will hit the fan in their life and then they're going to come to you because they respect you. And you will lead them to God. Amen? Amen? If they don't respect you, they won't be influenced by your life. And they will never accept the gospel that you preach. Yes, my friend, it does matter to God how you live your life. If God spoke to you today, it's probably time for you to listen. For you to do some work and work on your salvation. It's time for you to repent. If you like to entertain rubbish, today you need to make a decision. This is not a dustbin. I don't want to hear the rubbish. Go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Don't entertain nonsense because you're going to pay the price for it. I want to say something about make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. I want to touch on Facebook again. Now, I'm not hating on it. I just see a lot of things that seriously bother me. Some people put their whole life on Facebook. I want to talk to you about that. Listen to me carefully. If you want a bit of wisdom, yes, some wisdom. Most people are not interested in what's going on in your life because they want to be happy for you. They just want to know your life. And it is stupid for you to put your whole life there for everybody to see, because it's starting fires. People are like, oh, they think they're better than us. Oh, look at this one. She's always got her children on Facebook. Oh, she thinks they're angels or what. And the more they talk like that, the more attacks begin to come against you. The Word of God says, live a quiet life. Keep to yourself. And when something is special to you, don't cast your pearls before the swine, because the swine will trample it. You know, I have wonderful things happening in my life. You won't see nothing on Facebook about me. In fact, the only reason I have Facebook is because I found out I can find car parts there. That's why I'm there. That's why I'm there. Yes. Yeah. Well, he says something interesting. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And these are all things that work through the air. Probably there's something to what he says. I want you to listen, yeah. Go and think about what I'm sharing with you today. It's probably time for a lot of you to change the way you do things. I'm sorry, but it is. And you know, if nobody teaches you, how are you going to know? When you got a new job, don't put it on Facebook. Because your enemies would love to hear you got a new job so that they can come up with creative ways to curse you out of your job. Why are you giving them that opportunity? Keep it to yourself. You know, I've said to many people, when God does something good for you, even though God expects you to testify, be careful who you testify to. Because when you share good things with the wrong people, they will trample it, they will curse it, and they will destroy it. It's better for them not to know. Amen? So, I want to end off by saying, the next time somebody says to you, mind your own business, you should stop and think, isn't God maybe talking to me? You know, we like to get offended when somebody says, hey, mind your own business. God likes to say that too. Stick to your own life. Stick to your own family. Stick to your own job. Don't be worried about what somebody else does. Use that energy and that time to look at your own life, and God will bless you for it. And if you know that you have a habit to want to know too much, stop, repent, turn. God can still bless you. But I want to say something else to you that you must never forget. Today you heard the truth. You can't stand before God one day and say, oh, I didn't know. You do know. Now what you do with it, that's up to you. I hope and I pray that you're going to take this the right way and say, it's time for me to change. You know, the world will be a better place if people keep to themselves. The world will be a better place if we are happy for one another. The world will be a better place if we stop talking rubbish behind each other's back. And the world will be a wonderful place if we mind our own business. Did anybody learn something today? Now, before we finish, I want you to listen. Maybe today, God is speaking to you. You know, a lot of us, we think, I go to church, I'm okay. But that's not how it works. I may be going to shock you now, but there's a scripture in the Bible that says, you believe in God, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. How scary is this? Demons believe, but they're still demons. What is it that saves you? It's not the fact that you believe there is a God. It's not the fact that you believe in the supernatural. It's not the fact that you know that there is a devil. What saves us? The truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified. His life was given as atonement to sin so that my life could be blameless before God. And for you to get to that place, something has to happen. I want to ask you a favor. Please stop with the collections. Sit. We can continue now. This is more important. I want you to listen to me. Is that God calling? He wants to know why I'm preaching so long. Sorry, God. Okay. Until something doesn't happen in your life, you can't say, I am a child of God. You know, I always think to myself, when there was a time when Bishop Tutu used to be on television a lot. And he used to say many times, oh, we are all children of God. He's lying. We're not all children of God. The Bible says to them that have accepted Jesus Christ, God has given the right to be called children of God. You become a child of God. You aren't one. You need to go from darkness to light. You need to leave your sin and move in righteousness. And you know what? For some people, that's never really happened because they think, I go to church, I'm fine. The devil also goes to church. He sits somewhere here every Sunday listening to what I'm saying so he can try and confuse you with it. That doesn't save him. It doesn't. So today I spoke to you about areas where everybody needs to change. It's called repentance. But the first thing that needs to change is you need to give your heart to God. So I want to pray today. You know, probably you're sitting here, one of two things is relevant in your life. Maybe there was a time that you used to serve God and then you fell back and you haven't been close to God for years. Today God's calling you back, but you need to make a choice. Or maybe you've never even heard of the concept of salvation and today you're thinking, wow, this sounds like something that I need. Well, then I have to give you the opportunity to receive it. I want to ask everybody to close their eyes for me, please. If you believe that I'm speaking to you now, if God is knocking on your heart, you know, Revelation 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If you will open up, I will enter in. You got to come to a place in your life that you open up and invite God to come in. Jesus must become Lord of your life. And it doesn't happen because you were born. It happens because you choose it. If God's speaking to you today, if you either backslid or you're not sure if you ever made this decision, I want you to raise your hand. Don't feel ashamed because nobody is looking. If I catch you looking, I'm going to lay hands on you. Okay. Right. Drop your hands. I want everybody to pray this together. The reason I ask everybody to pray is because I know what happens. People feel like put on the spot and then they keep quiet when they should be praying. So we can all do this. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God. I believe that you died on the cross for all of my sins and that you rose again from the dead. I come before you today, Lord, and I confess all sin in my life. I ask you to forgive me. I realize I cannot save myself. Jesus Christ, be my Savior. I put my faith, my hope, and my trust in the complete work that you did on the cross. And I thank you today that I can truly say, I am a child of God. Amen. Please give the Lord a big hand.